Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today, Steve McSwain. Welcome, Steve.
Nice to see you, Mike. Thanks for having me again.
And you're in here to talk about the MTA Events Center. We have a whole new calendar of things coming up in September, and it's time. We haven't had you in for a while. Summer has passed. That means things are going to start getting cold. And inside the Event Center, I haven't been in there in a while. Is there ice?
At the moment, there is no ice in here. This process starts Friday.
Okay.
So tomorrow's the big day here. And that we got the compressor is going to be looked at here, and we start that process. We've had, you know, we've had some fix-ups on the compressors, and we have somebody coming from out of town to work on our compressors tomorrow. So the beginning is, you know, tomorrow's the big day here.
Okay. And then once it starts, when do you project that ice will be available and people will be out there?
Well, we were looking at the 5th. That was our hope date to start. We're probably going to be pushed back a little bit this year because of a couple little obstacles. But I'm hoping for the next Friday, Friday after Labor Day weekend.
Oh, okay.
Saturday, possibly.
Okay.
But we're knocking on the door here. We the skating season's we can smell the ice almost here in the hockey sort of scenes.
Right. Okay. So people who are not familiar with the way the center is used during the summer, there is not ice. There are other activities that happen in there.
Yes, this particular summer was mostly maintenance stuff here. We've done some painting, big installation of tempered glass, which is big news here because we are going to have a lot of happy spectators that are going to be able to see what their kids are doing out there here. So I've been telling the kids that I've been seeing that, well, you know, you can't hide behind that old plexiglass anymore. That was all, you know, scratched up and marked up from pucks here. Cause now we all can see every move out there on the ice. So
wonderful.
From the ice, you know, the hockey players to the figure skaters here, I mean, I'm just joking around with them, but it is, it's very beautiful. I keep looking at it. I almost smack my head on it here going through
so
thinking,
clear.
Thinking it's so clear. And I've done that at a coffee shop before with my window one time.
Oh,
so
sure.
That's a different story, but,
so that's a big improvement for people to be able to have that kind of clarity of view. You know, that's kind of nice. And you say you've painted. Has there been any other changes in the center?
Painted, different areas here. We have, the city manager has, and my boss at Public Works, Chris Knoll, have been active and wanting to make some nice changes here. We have beautifying things around the rink here. So in our entryway, so to speak, here, we just had a fence, and we had a bunch of supplies behind that have accumulated over the years. But now we've had these nice blue and white slats, kind of the Palmer colors here. So you walk through the, you know, the downstairs, and it looks very nice. It's pretty. It's attractive. We got some benches being installed here very soon here too. So, you know, we're happy about that.
Okay.
We're still a work in progress. We still have some things we need to clean up in that regard. But we also moved banners around this summer, which was a real big project. Putting them into different, we have a Palmer Hockey Association, which is called PAHA. We have the Palmer High School, the Moose. We have youth hockey programs that have won tournaments from out of town. And knock on me here, I just put up banners anywhere they come. But through talking to my bosses, they said, let's get things in order here. Let's put Palmer Amateur Hockey Association one year. Let's plan for the future. Let's plan to keep building and winning more.
Sure.
And with room to where to put them. So we've got those in the nice areas here. We have a Carrie Weiland, our great Olympian here from Palmer. Her banner is up there, and we're going to try to get a jersey for her and somewhere neat in the arena and pay respects to her great great hockey career that we're real proud of here, and having a local girl make it the Olympics here and playing. win a silver medal was awesome, and the kids and parents, everybody, you know, loves Carrie and the Weiland family. But we also moved. We had some, you know, getting into details. We got a lot done this summer, but we had some boards that had migrated that over the years, spent about over 13 years that this rain has been there now. So right. The boards over the years have taken a, they've kind of got moved, and through just a variety of things, the boards can kind of move. So we had to move those, which was a big project. And I don't know if I'm explaining it well, but we got them moved about 3 inches, 2.5, 3 inches back on the slab. So in the hockey world, that ice world, that means our corners should be better because it's going to be more over the cold spots of the arena that gets cooled.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. So let's switch to some of the things that are coming up at the MTA Events Center. Ice will be there. And of course, there's a lot of skating that's done. There's a lot of practice time. There are games that are played and all the rest of it. Who tends to use that particular rink? You've mentioned a few other groups that have won pennants at one point or another, but who's the heaviest user of the rink?
The heaviest user is Palmer Amateur Hockey Association, and that is, we refer to them as PAHA, P-A-H-A. They are our youth program, and there's kids from all over the valley that play in that, on that, in that association. There has been a merger through all of the youth hockey organizations from the valley, from Palmer, Wasilla, Big Lake, all that Mat-Su area here, that they have formed a new league here. So it's inaugural season for that. PAHA is involved with that. I'm still trying to figure that whole thing out here, but they have a, they're known as the Valley Thunder, so they're also going to be sending some teams to our association.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But then, so still PAHA manages everything in that regard, but we also have the Palmer High School, big time user. We have the Denali Destroyer Dollars, the Roller Derby. They have events this summer, or this winter, I'm sorry, and coming up, and you know, learn to skate programs. We have some broom ball that's going to be starting up pretty soon. Public skates, shinny hockeys. Those are our main winter.
Okay, so most of that is skating and on ice, but occasionally that is done. The ice is covered.
We do have the event deck flooring. Thanks for reminding me. So that is what we do put down for the derbies. That is pretty fancy stuff and covers it. You know, we've had weddings in the ice arena. Wedding receptions there. We've had the car show, the 49th State Street Rodders. But that event deck flooring does open up a whole lot of new ideas, and it's going to be we've had it for a number of years now here.
How easy is it to put down and take up?
Wow. That's a great question, because at the beginning we just thought it just magically just went into place, but boy, I tell you, the old legs are sore the next day here. It feels like you've done squats.
How many people does it take to do it?
Well, we've had 6 people to 8 people do it. We've had 4 people do it. We've been all over the board with it, to be honest here. But now we finally have the pieces cut to the right size. But in the past, we'd be there till 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and even with a small group.
So I'm imagining how this is done, and I'm thinking, okay, crossword puzzle. Are these pieces numbered, or how do you?
Well,
what goes where?
I'd say we've learned through experience here. There were some frustrating days in the beginning when we first had it at 2 a.m. and when you're getting down there and nothing's fitting. All of a sudden it's halfway up the boards and you can't push your piece of the puzzle into its place here. So you're trying to force it in there and you're tired. But we kind of laugh at those days now, sort of. But it is nice when we've got a system down now and it fits in nicely, so we can do it relatively 2 hours, lay the floor down. Whereas the past, it was 4 hours to just winging it right to the, it seemed like the doors would open here the next morning.
So is it easier to take it up than to put it down?
Yeah, they both are. I don't. I think it's easier to pick it up. I guess you're right. But it's about the same. We now that we have it down and learned from some mistakes in the past here, it's pretty smooth sailing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, good. Because think about that. The ice is good. Of course, and that ice, once it's down, doesn't melt until the spring or whenever you're done. Is that correct?
Yes. So the ice, I've said this all the time to people. I said as a former hockey player, when I played hockey in my younger days, I always just thought the ice kind of grew itself and behind the scenes, I never really knew what was going on here. But now running an ice arena here, you realize that there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle to make that ice happen here. But with the compressors running smoothly, the right temperature, airflow, everything, ice maintenance, that is taking care of the corners, taking care of your Zamboni, putting the right level of water continually on the ice here. So you have to tend to your ice and to make good sheets. So it's just not this childhood thought I had that just magically the ice grows here like grass, I guess, but there's an art to it. So the ice is, we start the process this week, the 1st September. And then, hopefully by the 8th or 9th, we're going to be ready to rock and roll.
So I'm thinking about, in my own mind, I'm listening to you and I'm saying, okay, how's that? There's no ice and there is ice. How does you spray water, or how does the ice appear? How does it become ice?
Well, one thing is, back in when I was younger, I always wanted to be a fireman. So, I did go to some classes, and I wasn't able to finish the classes here. But I have great respect for mm-hmm. firemen, so I've always appreciated them and thankful for them. But I guess where I'm going with this story is I get to go out in the ice arena with a fire hose and spray in my big, hip boots at times here. So at the start, the compressors get turned on. That's a whole complicated deal there. But the compressors get on, chill the floor. I come in, or staff, and it's not just me, but I've spent plenty of time there, the middle of the floor with my boots on, hip boots on, to muck boots, to whatever I can find. And I got the big fire hose in my hand, and I'm spraying water and shooting it out there to get layers. So I have my little, fulfilling a little bit of a childhood dream of being a fireman here to sit out there, but of course I'm not. So, but anyway, after doing the fire hose, we do that for a few days to get layers of, you try to get thin layers because that's.
So it takes a while for that layer of water to become ice.
Yeah. So, but in time it'll freeze, and we want to get, in the old days, I used to try to get 2 or 3 inches of water at a time. And I just thought, okay, then we just have to do it once. But you want to get light layers. It's going to build a harder layer of, less air pockets and it's a more sound, solid piece of,
piece of ice. How thick will the ice be when it's finished?
We go about, two inches, is an area, inch and a half to 2 inches is our bar park. We have a mark on the ice that we actually follow. Sure. and we try to keep it at that. And inch and a half is where we find it's better energy use here.
If the ice were too thick, it wouldn't be good.
Well, the ice too thick, and we have had thick ice there in years past. So we've gotten better over time. So the good thing about thick ice is if there's an issue, your propane tank goes out in the middle of your Zamboni and the hot water doesn't get turned off fast enough, boom, you're right down to concrete within, 30 seconds here.
Oh, wow.
And that has happened, and it's happened to us. It's happened anywhere, any rank in the, everybody's got their stories of stuff
sure,
like that happening,
sure.
But that's, but with a little thicker ice, sometimes you have some wiggle room there. That was one theory I've heard, or not. Some people like the thicker ice, but being energy efficient, the thinner ice, the better. And but you have to be on your toes, and you know, there's not room for mistakes.
Well, that is good. And how level is that floor? It's good. Water tends to seek its own level, so I'm going to guess leveling is not a problem.
Well, yes. I mean, we try to get the visiting team, we like to shoot down, we'd like to shoot downstream on them here. So they have to skate uphill here on the ice. But so I'm joking there, but no, we have good level ice here, and we've had, good ice people working on it over the years. But, and occasionally we've had Public Works come over and do the measuring, and they have, the laser that they do that just to check. So, but yeah, we have nice flat ice here. So no high sides, which.
How many Zamboni drivers do you have? Do you need any new Zamboni drivers?
Well, you and I were talking about the fair before we got in there. And, I was going to ask you if you've done that big bungee there that I was at Spenard's yesterday picking up some supplies. And I was just like,
I missed that. And I might miss that this year. Yeah.
Well, my wife wants to do it. I'm a chicken, but I had some pretty good views of some people going yesterday at Spenard's. But so, Mike, you want to come over? We'll try to find a time to teach you go on a Zamboni ride here, but sometime. But yeah, the Zamboni was sad thing happened this year though, and Rick Cook, former boss, passed away, and was a good friend of mine. And but one year, and Rick Cook and Brad Hansen were at the rink, and I was dragging my feet trying to get on that Zamboni. I just was all of a sudden I'm working here, and they said, one of the parts of the job is you have to learn to drive the Zamboni, and all of a sudden when you're sitting right in front of it, it's a little intimidating there. Sure. So I kept dragging my feet, and finally, Rick Cook looks at me and says, "Hey, you get your behind up there now." And I said, "Oh, Rick, I could end up in that, there was a big field out there at the time." I said, I could end up in that field really easy right now. So anyway, I'd been studying and watching videos and being told how to Zam. And so finally I did get up there and got on it. And it's a neat experience to drive it, but I don't want to say it's like driving an airplane, but there is an art to doing it right. I'm comfortable on the Zam now, but we've had some really good Zammers over there. How many do we have right now? We have lost a couple guys that have moved on, and they were really, really good Zam drivers. So, but we still have a good core, and we probably need to develop some more. So if you want to try, we're ready for you, Mike.
So how long? Thank you. How long does it take to run the Zamboni over the ice?
Well, to get a clean sheet, in our schedule, we say 15 minutes between ice sessions.
Right.
We plan for 15 minutes, but it can be done in 10 to 12 minutes. Sometimes people can go a little faster, but for the ice to set, for it to freeze at the right time, 15 minutes, sometimes the kids like to get out there right after the Zam when the ice is still wet and kind of chews up your ice a little bit quicker, but they're eager to get out there. So that's a great thing too. And I was as guilty as anybody. Boy, once that Zamboni was off and the doors were shut, bam. And the coach, they gave us the thumbs up, the Zamboni drivers, we'd be out there as quick as possible. And then you fall down and it's like the ice is still wet. And it's like, when you fall on that on your back, I remember that waking you up pretty quick because I was.
So how's talking about feel? Say you've been skating on the ice and come to that break time. So you come off the ice, Zamboni runs over, you go back right out on it. How does the ice feel differently immediately after having the Zamboni run over it?
It's definitely nice. It feels. It's a special feeling, I would say, that almost anyone that has skated before would say, just to be in a smooth, crystal clear sheet feels good. You can see your ice marks that from your blade going over the ice, and the crackling of the sound is something you always think of as a hockey player if you really think about skating here. And that fresh ice gives you that feel. But also I'm old. I have some old school in me too. But when we used to say sometimes to the ice, we used to call them ice meisters, Zamboni drivers. Hey, we'd rather go out 15 minutes early. We don't even want a Zam. And one of the theories was that it would help. It was a little bit rougher ice, but it was still good, but it would make you pass harder. And so I always say, yes, you want a smooth, that's great. But, there is times for training and practice sessions we have your fresh ice and your rough ice. Rough ice is considered a no Zam. So, but to get 15 minutes extra on the ice sometimes is a way to go in my book.
Okay. Mike Malevsky, and I've been here with Steve McSwain, manager of the MTA Event Center. As we're finishing up here with another edition of Inside the City, swing back to events and the remaining time we have. Are there particular events you'd like to point out that are happening very soon once the center is back in operation?
Well, one thing up is the PAHA, Palmer Amateur Hockey Association, is going to be doing their warm-up skates. That's coming real soon here. And so that's the biggest thing on deck here is to get that ice ready. We do have, with our compressors, they're older compressors. We have some serious hard days, starting tomorrow. We have a big job ahead of us here tomorrow. But the PAHA tryouts, it's going to be fun to see all these kids again. It's amazing to me how you get very close to the families and their kids, and to see every year, like all of a sudden, bam, someone, they're just shooting by me and looking down on me. It seems a summer here of growing, but to hear their fish stories, just their summer stories is exciting. So I'm excited to hear their stories, see how they've grown and catch up with them. So that's when I think of that. I think of the opening and just how they get their warm-up skate in here, as we call it here. But also, Mike, I promised you that I promised my grandma last night. I said, "Grandma, I'm going on the radio tomorrow." She goes, "All right. You better get a good night's sleep here." And okay. But she's from Nenelchuk, and I think
right.
And I
we talked talking, a little bit about that.
Yeah. But I'm proud of my grandma, and I got my little cabin in Nenelchuk, and so I told you. So I got you on air telling you you want to go to the cabin sometime. We got a lot of Palmer friends that stay at the cabin, so it's welcome
right,
to you.
Right down on the bluff overlooking.
It's right there, kind of on the bluff. My grandma's. Grandpa was Joe Cooper from Cooper Landing was named
right.
after,
oh,
and I'm,
right.
so I'm I was proud of that. And but so Joe Cooper had homesteaded there, and he got a pretty good chunk of land there, and then the kids, and I my grandma's cabin is, I call it grandma's cabin because it's always sure. Her cabin in my eyes here, but anyway, you're welcome there, that's a fun place to go.
So thank you, Steve McSwain, for coming in for another edition of Inside the City. And hope to hear from you later on down the season about how things are going at the MTA Event Center.
Thank you, Mike.